This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, March 10th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
we look ahead to the U.S. jobs report due out at 8:30 Wall Street time, with markets all but settled on the odds of a Federal Reserve rate hike.
UBS Chief Executive Sergio Ermotti takes a pay cut following what he calls a challenging year.
A winter storm heads toward the East Coast. We'll bring you all the information you need for your morning commute.
South Korea's constitutional court has formally removed impeached President Park Geun-hye from office over a corruption scandal. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, the Islanders and Rangers involved in one-goal games. Who came out on top in an upset at the Big East tournament?
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 70, NASDAQ futures up almost 18. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. So is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.5% today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. The yield 2.60%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 20 cents to $49.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6%, down $6.90 to $11.96.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0611, the yen, 115.37.
And we await the government's monthly employment report set for release at 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg forecasting a February gain of 215,000 jobs. They also see last month's unemployment rate falling to 4.7% from 4.8%. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say today's payroll data could be eclipsed by faster wage growth, with several states lifting the minimum wage at the start of the year. The prior month's report showed employers added 227,000 jobs nationwide, the most in 4 months. The unemployment rate, 4.8% in January, has held below 5% since May. However, underemployment, which tracks the number of part-timers seeking full-time jobs, remains elevated, above 9%. A decade ago, it was lower, roughly 8%. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. Today's jobs report is the last major piece of economic data to be released before next week's FOMC meeting. Fed funds futures are already pricing in a 100% chance of an interest rate hike at the meeting. Bill Gross of Janus Capital, speaking to Bloomberg, says that despite significant headline risk, the Fed is likely to move next week.
I think they'll raise interest rates. What they do going forward is dependent upon economic growth and yes, the strength of the dollar. They don't want the dollar to strengthen too much, or else, you know, it presents problems for the global economy.
And that's Janus Capital's Bill Gross.
And we turn to Asia now for an update from Juliet Sally in our Hong Kong bureau.
Well, Bob and Karen, it was a cautious day's trade across Asia on Wednesday. Stocks mixed on very low volumes. The yen strengthened along with U.S. Treasuries on safe haven buying during Japan's session. That sent the TOPIX lower by 0.33%, even as data showed Japan's economy expanded more than initially reported in the fourth quarter. Chinese stocks, though, listed in Hong Kong rallied as the report showed imports surged in February, although China recorded its first trade deficit in 3 years. The data possibly skewed because of the timing of the Lunar New Year holiday. In Seoul, SK Telecom was a standout this after Macquarie Securities issued a note saying the missile launch from North Korea earlier in the week is unlikely to have a negative impact on telco stocks. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
All right, thanks, Juliet. People's Bank of China Governor Xu Shaoxuan says the yuan's rate should be relatively stable this year, even as rising U.S. interest rates contribute to foreign exchange volatility. Rates will be mainly based on the domestic economy, Xu said Friday at a rare press conference during the annual National People's Congress sessions in Beijing. He said China has many monetary policy tools and that the drop in foreign reserves is not a problem.
And now for a look at what's going on in Europe this morning. We go to Matt Miller in our Berlin bureau.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Karen. UBS Group handed out the smallest bonuses in 4 years and lowered Chief Executive Officer Sergio Ermotti's pay as profits slumped last year. The bank cut the bonus pool for 2016 by 17% to $2.9 billion, according to the annual report published on Friday. Ermotti, who had his pay cut, still is the highest paid executive at the Zurich-based lender with total compensation of just about $13.5 million for the year. Royal Bank of Scotland is preparing to sell loan books and cut lending to some Western European corporate clients as part of plans to bolster its balance sheet and improve returns. The UK government-owned lender may divest commercial real estate loans in chunks of $365 million apiece to help reach its target to reduce risk-weighted assets by £20 billion, according to Alison Rose, the head of commercial and private banking, in an interview. Bloomberg Daybreak, Berlin, Matt Miller.
All right, Matt Miller, thank you. And shares of UBS, they're up 2% this morning, while RBS is up 1.5%. Martin Gilbert, chief executive of Aberdeen Asset Management, speaking with Bloomberg this morning, provided some clarity on what his role will be following the firm's $4.6 billion acquisition by Standard Life. Duties will be split between Gilbert and Standard Life CEO Keith Skeoch.
Well, I'm going to do external affairs, and Keith will run the sort of fabric of the business. And I think that plays to both our strengths. We'll both be doing the bits of the business we enjoy. So I think it'll work very well.
And that's Aberdeen Asset Management CEO Martin Gilbert speaking to Bloomberg. Futures this morning are jumping, with S&P futures up about 8 points, Dow futures up 66, NASDAQ futures up 17, while stocks in Europe have been extending their gains. This morning, the DAX in Germany up 0.7% right now. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 2.60%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. We're still braced for some snow. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Snow could make the morning commute a bit messy in the New York area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin has the latest.
Michael, the storm that's going to be developing this morning south of the tri-state area brings a mixture of rain and snow into the region fairly quickly this morning, right around sunrise, but it's going to go over to snow very quickly. Most areas are going to pick up around 3 inches of snowfall. There could be a few spots that see as much as 5. Eastern Long Island is really at risk for that. We may have some of the higher hilltops in the Hudson River Valley and also in the northwestern New Jersey pick up 5 inches as well. Storm, though, should start to wind down this afternoon, and then we're in for a cold weekend. We'll keep an eye on next week's storm as well.
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin. At least 2 people have died in South Korea after supporters and critics clashed after the Constitutional Court decided to impeach President Park Geun-hye. Bloomberg's Sherry Ahn has more from Seoul.
The court saying that President Park violated the Constitution, that she abused the presidential power for Choi Soon-sil's interests. And now this means going forward that they will have to call an election that will take place before May 9th. That would be 60 days from today.
Bloomberg's Sherry Ahn in Seoul. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson says he'll ask a federal judge to find that his order last month halting President Trump's initial travel ban applied to the revised ban as well.
With the exception of removing Iraq from that list of countries, the language is virtually identical as the original executive order. For that reason, we're asserting that the president cannot unilaterally declare himself free of the court's restraining order and injunction.
Several states are also going to court to fight the revised travel ban, including New York. Democrats who oppose the Republican health care overhaul say Republicans acted in the dead of night to make changes in the Affordable Care Act that will cause many poor Americans to lose coverage. Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence says the new Republican health care plan is a better one for American businesses.
We're working with the Congress right now to ensure that as we move into a system that's based on free market principles and state-based flexibility, that that system will work and be unfolding in an orderly way for your enterprises and in a predictable way.
Pence spoke at the Latino Coalition Policy Summit in Washington. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it, Mr. Barr. Now it is 6:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Both New York teams in action on the ice as the Rangers fell short in Carolina 4-3 on a controversial goal that saw the Rangers lose an interference challenge call. Backup netminder Antti Raanta.
When I see the replay and you see that their guy is skating just past me and hits me to the head, it's a little bit questionable. But I don't know what the rule is. Like, if I can't be on my top of my crease, like, should I be in the goal line or what should I do? Like, it's hard to say right now. What should I do there differently?
The goal tied the game on a power play before the Hurricanes scored the game winner. Raanta finished with 26 saves. Chris Kreider scored his 26th. The Rangers are third in the East, 2 points behind Columbus and Pittsburgh in a tie for second place. Islanders continue their impressive road trip with an overtime win in Vancouver.
And the Islanders keep control of it here. DeHaan, a little stutter step move on Berchi, gets away. Ladd in front scores! DeHaan set it up for Andrew Ladd, and the Islanders win 4-3.
Isles TV, Ladd scoring the game winner in his hometown as the Isles are in sole possession of eighth place, a point ahead of Toronto. Devils come up short in Colorado 3-2, and the Sharks double up the Capitals 4-2. Tonight in the NBA, the Nets visit Dallas. Big East tournament, a mild upset as 18th-ranked Butler fell to Xavier 62-57. St. John's gets blown out by 41 against 2nd-ranked Villanova. Seton Hall and Creighton both win. NFL free agent news, the Jets retain their top special teams player, linebacker Josh Martin. In spring training, Yankees beat the Braves, Mets and Tigers finished in a tie. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you very much, Rob Bushka. S&P futures currently up 9 points, a little more than a third of a percent. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32. The yield at 2.6001. The 2-year yield at 1.3716. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Challenge what's possible. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers on the Land Rover lineup during the Own the Adventure sales event. Or call 1-800-FIND-4WD. Land Rover above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI. Have evolving investor and regulatory demands affected your investment firm's operational readiness? Imagine transforming your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/imagine. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Today's non-farm payroll and wage numbers are set to confirm the Fed will raise rates next week. They may also shed light on the timing of the next hike. Earnings may be key to the report. Treasuries are on the verge of their longest slump since 1974. The 10-year yield yesterday crossed 2.6%, a level Bill Gross has said signifies the start of a bear market. Pain ahead for UBS bankers. The Swiss lender cut its bonus pool 17% and reduced its CEO's pay after profit fell last year. But it could have been worse. Deutsche Bank slashed its bonus pool by 80%. Excitement's back in the oil market. Traders piled into options on this week's price plunge, signalling the biggest bias toward a decline in 6 weeks. Bit of a change from last month, when WTI traded in its narrowest range since 2003. And massive alien power stations might be behind weird radio bursts that science has so far been unable to explain. Researchers from the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics think fast radio bursts, millisecond-long pulses of interstellar radio energy, might be caused by planet-sized transmitters used to power spacecraft. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. And futures are rising this morning. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 80, and NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%, so is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 34 cents to $49.62 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $7 to $11.96.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.0609, the yen 115.43. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a South Korean court today unanimously affirmed Parliament's decision to impeach President Park Geun-hye amid a corruption probe. The ruling officially removes her from office and opens the door for Park to face jail time. Two people have died from demonstrations. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has recused himself from State Department deliberations on granting a permit to TransCanada Corporation's Keystone XL pipeline. The move is to head off any conflict of interest concerns over a project he praised when he was chief of ExxonMobil. In sports in the NHL, the Islanders beat the Canucks in overtime. The Rangers and the Devils lost. The Sharks were winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, if you want to look younger, hit it. Hit, spelled H-I-I-T, stands for a high-intensity interval training. According to a study by researchers at the Mayo Clinic, this type of exercise is apparently one of the better ways to reverse the signs of aging. Bobbin involves alternating between quick bursts of all-out exertion and low-intensity activity.
Finally, an exercise program that has something I can do, low-intensity activity.
I was going to say, I have that down pat. It's supposed to slow aging at a cellular level. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
Jobs Friday, and joining us now is Bloomberg Intelligence senior U.S. economist Yelena Shuletyeva. Good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning.
So let's start with the headline numbers. What are we expecting today?
So the consensus for non-farm payrolls is currently standing at 200K. Our expectation is at 230. And I think the whisper number is probably above 200 anyway. So we could see some upward surprises in the goods producing sector. ADP report released earlier this week indicated that manufacturing, construction, jobs are on the rise. So we could see similar trends in the payrolls number.
Okay, so those numbers out of the way now, because you're about to tell us, forget all that stuff.
Well, you know, Janet Yellen set the bar really low for the payrolls number to be adequate for them to hike rates at the March meeting. So that really matters less in our view than the building wage pressures. So the number to watch today is, in our view, average hourly earnings and possibly a strong number on that front. So last month in January, we saw the number was really weak. That was partially a result of financial sector wages falling quite significantly. There was an outsized decline that actually muted the wage pressures overall in the United States.
I also saw in a story on the Bloomberg one analyst saying that this now makes the dot plot more important.
So, yes. So I think in terms of why it matters is when the Fed meets next week, they will probably be looking at wage pressures and how that will impact inflation over the course of this year. So that would really matter for the medium-term path of interest rates when they meet next week.
And so overall, there's not much in here that would really change the Fed's next meeting, the foregone conclusion here.
Yeah, I think the bar is extremely high, but so it's a done deal. But watch the details of the report. What will be very interesting as well is the unemployment rate. We think there is a downside risk to the 4.7% number. We think it could go lower because jobless claims have been running really low, near record levels since 1973. So we think that some optimism that we saw in consumer confidence survey could be pulling more workers into the labor force and could be pulling more workers out of the unemployment. So we could see a lower unemployment rate today.
Bloomberg Intelligence senior U.S. economist Elena Shileteva, thank you very much. And that jobs report set for release at 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time. We'll break it all down for you on Bloomberg Surveillance. S&P futures right now up 9 points. That is 0.4%. Dow futures higher by 74 points. NASDAQ futures up by 20 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
News.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures are higher ahead of the February jobs report. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a gain of 215,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Michael McKee has more now on what Wall Street will be looking for in that report.
Investors have already decided this payrolls report won't influence a Fed they believe has already decided to raise rates next week. The number, however, may have an outsized effect on markets anyway. To this point, Global Wall Street has disagreed with the Fed's forecast of 3 rate moves this year. Strong February hiring, as suggested by the ADP and jobless claims reports, may bring them closer together. Some analysts even see a risk a higher-than-expected headline, coupled with a drop in unemployment and a decent rise in earnings, might lead to bets on interest rates moving up faster and farther. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Mike. And that report is out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We will break it down live with Bill Gross of Janus Capital on both Bloomberg Radio and television.
Treasuries are little changed ahead of the jobs numbers. If they fall, it would be for a 10th straight day, the longest losing streak since 1974.
The February jobs data is the last major economic report before next week's Fed meeting. Fed fund futures indicate a 100% chance of a rate hike.
A Chinese central bank governor says the yuan's rate should be relatively stable this year, even as rising U.S. interest rates contribute to foreign exchange volatility.
UBS has reduced its bonus pool by 17% and cut CEO Sergio Ermotti's pay as profit at the Swiss bank plunged.
European Union leaders are gathering for a second day of their summit in Brussels. Yesterday, they sent a clear signal that the 28-nation bloc will promote free trade in a show of opposition to the protectionist stance floated by the Trump administration.
And UK manufacturing and construction shrank in January, pointing to a loss of economic momentum in the first quarter. Factory output fell 0.9% from December, while total industrial production declined 0.4%. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 74, NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%, so is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 32 cents to $49.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $6.70 to $11.96.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.0606. The yen, 115.44. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Investing in local communities, economies, and a sustainable future. That's the power of global connections. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated, member SIPC. Bloomberg's Michael Barr tracking the snow that they say is on the way. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The morning commute could get a bit dicey. The New York area is in line to get some snow. Most areas will get about 3 inches. Some areas could pick up as much as 5 inches, such as eastern Long Island. South Korea's constitutional court has formally removed impeached President Park Geun-hye from office over a corruption scandal that has plunged the country into political turmoil. The ruling by the 8-member panel opens Park to possible criminal proceedings. Pak and her lifelong friend are accused of abusing power and receiving bribes from businesses. Meanwhile, clashes between supporters and critics of the ruling have left at least two people dead. President Donald Trump's new travel ban continues to face legal challenges. Washington was the first state to sue over the original ban and will seek to stop the new order. Several other states are also challenging the revised ban, including New York and Hawaii. Hawaii Attorney General Doug Chin says the president is creating a standardless system.
This is the first time the president, a president has made such a broad, sweeping kind of executive order that bans people purely based upon their nationality.
The White House believes the revised travel order will stand up to legal scrutiny. President Trump met with the CEOs of small and community banks yesterday. The president touted his executive order on regulation that he says will help small banks.
It's taking a lot of the regulation away. You'll be able to loan, you'll be able to be safe, but you'll be able to provide the jobs that we want and also create great businesses.
Trump says community banks help create jobs by providing about half of all loans to small businesses. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. That moves us along to 6:35 on a Friday. Your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. On the ice, Rangers coach Alain Vigneault was vocal in a controversial 4-3 loss in Carolina after a power play goal was allowed on what appeared to be interference of goalie Antti Raanta. Vigneault on the missed call.
They told us that Antti's feet were in the blue, but his head was outside the blue paint. It was, you know, involuntary contact because Antti's face was out of the blue. So, in my opinion, it was the wrong call. You know, at the end of the day, we didn't play well enough in the third period. We got outplayed, and they came back and scored two power play goals.
Chris Kreider scored his 26th in the loss. New York still in third place, 2 points behind the Penguins and Blue Jackets, who are tied for second. The Islanders get a game winner in overtime from Andrew Ladd to beat the Canucks on the road. It was special for Ladd, a native of Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to score in front of family and friends. So, the big thing is that extra point. You know, with everything going on right now, we need to get as many points as possible. And that was kind of the message after they scored. Let's just go get that other one and win this game. So it's nice it worked out.
New York has won two straight. The Islanders are in sole possession of eighth place, 1 point ahead of Toronto. Devils lost 3-2 in Colorado, while the Sharks took down the Capitals 4-2 in San Jose. NBA, the Nets visit the Mavericks tonight. Big East tournament saw 18th-ranked Butler fall to Xavier 62-57. Creighton and Seton Hall both winners, while St. John's was beaten by 41 points, courtesy of number 2 Villanova 108-67. NFL free agency, the Jets hold on to special teams star linebacker Josh Martin. And in spring training, the Mets and Tigers played to a 5-5 tie, while the Yankees edged the Braves 8-7. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Buschka, thanks very much. While Republicans push a new health care bill to replace Obamacare, the GOP commissioner who leads state health regulation has his doubts about its passage. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom with details.
Al Redmer Jr. is chair of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. He was appointed by a Republican governor, but he expressed his doubts at a conference hosted by America's Health Insurance Plans.
He made the comment at the meeting that he's very doubtful that a bill, at least in the current form, will pass, if anything passes. He was sounding pretty dubious about it.
Bloomberg BNA's Sarah Hansard says he's especially skeptical of President Trump's desire to sell insurance across state lines.
The argument is that it would be a race to the bottom. You know, whatever state would be the least regulatory, that's where, you know, all the insurers would go to register themselves, and then other states would be stuck, you know, selling with their policies being sold, and if there were problems, they wouldn't be able to protect their consumers very well.
He does seem to like the concept of reinstituting high-risk pools in states, something that was in place before Obamacare. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
Thank you, Nancy. Now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. In their rush to slash red tape, congressional Republicans may make it harder for states to get federal money to turn around failing schools. Sometimes regulations make it easier to comply with the law. The law in question is the Every Student Succeeds Act, which increases the amount of information states have to share in annual school report cards. Republicans want to remove the regulations that were written by the Obama administration to clarify the law, even the ones that make sense. In some cases, the rules give the states greater leeway, for example, in how they design those report cards. And one rule would give states more discretion in deciding how to pay to improve underperforming schools. Congress should leave the rules in place and let the education secretary tweak them as needed. Then states could benefit from the flexibility and transparency the regulations provide. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Now, your Bloomberg Green business report. Before he was sworn in last month to lead the Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Pruitt surprised some of his critics who had branded him a climate change denier. He was asked if he disagreed with Donald Trump's campaign dismissal of climate change.
I do not believe that climate change is a hoax.
Now that he heads the nation's environmental watchdog agency, Pruitt is back at odds with scientists over what's causing climate change. And Democratic Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii says while Pruitt held it together for one hearing, as the lawmaker put it, his views show why he's unqualified to do the job. Pruitt is now insisting that carbon dioxide is not a primary contributor to global warming, contrary to the mainstream scientific consensus and bucking experts within his own agency. Pruitt contends that measuring the effect of human activity on the climate is very challenging and that there is tremendous disagreement about the degree of impact of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. Critics swiftly pointed out an overwhelming majority of scientists blame carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. And that is the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures up 9 points. The Bloomberg View was brought to you by Benzel Bush Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey. Winner of the 2017 Dealer Rater Dealer of the Year New Jersey and Consumer Satisfaction Awards. Experience why and define the way you drive at BenzelBush.com.
Daybreak.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more. Futures are jumping this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ken. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing today, with Dow futures currently higher by 73 points. S&P's gained 9, while the Nasdaq futures climbed 19. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.6%. Japan rose 1.5% overnight, while European markets are also rising, led by gains in the financials and telecom sectors. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, those job numbers change in non-farm payrolls estimate 200,000. Unemployment rate estimate 4.7%, and at 2 o'clock, the monthly budget statement. After the bell last night, Finisar missed. Shares are down 16% in the pre-market, and Ulta Beauty beat. In deal news, a Dutch newspaper reported that PPG is coming back with a new bid for ExxonMobil after yesterday's $22 billion offer was rejected. And wrapping things up, Winnebago cuts market perform at BMO. Yum raced outperform at Evercore ISI. Kimberly-Clark cuts a hold at SocGen, and Mednax cut to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Live from the Frisch's Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, South Korea's acting head of state is begging for calm after opponents and supporters of ousted President Park Geun-hye held fierce rallies that have killed two people and divided the capital, Seoul. South Korea's defense minister has ordered the military to be on alert for possible North Korean provocations. The Constitutional Court has ruled to remove Park from office amid a corruption scandal. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has recused himself from the Keystone XL pipeline review. Tillerson wants to avoid conflict of interest concerns over the project he praised when he was head of ExxonMobil. In sports in the NHL, the Islanders beat the Canucks in overtime 4-3. The Rangers and the Devils lost. The Sharks were winners. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, alien power stations might be behind weird radio bursts that science has so far been unable to explain. Researchers from the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics think that the fast radio burst might be caused by planet-sized transmitters used to power spacecraft.
You know what they say, there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Hey, my TV is messed up. Oh, I'm sorry. Global News.
Do not attempt to adjust your set.
Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Paniru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Republicans are rushing to hold votes on their health care legislation before the Congressional Budget Office reports on it. The office is expected to find that 10 to 20 million fewer Americans will have health coverage as a result of the bill. But the office overestimates the effectiveness of Obamacare's individual mandate. Its fines, that is, on people who go without insurance. It's a big reason that a year and a half ago, the CBO predicted that Obamacare's exchanges would enroll 23 million people by this year. The actual number is around 9 million. CBO's also said that repealing the individual mandate would cause millions of people to go without coverage. The implication is that those people are buying insurance now only to avoid the fines and don't think it's worth what they're paying. They'll be leaving the insurance rolls because they want to. But the numbers are implausible. The CBO assumes that without the fines, millions of people who now get Medicaid would stop taking advantage of a free program. The Republican legislation does not do enough to facilitate coverage and ought to be changed. That should be at the center of the debate. The CBO's number shouldn't be. I'm Ramesh Paniru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Small companies are starting to put their money where their mouths are. It's no secret that since the election, small business sentiment has risen, and risen dramatically. The promise of decreased regulation, among other things, has buoyed optimism. Now comes the follow-through. Bloomberg Intelligence economist Richard Yamarone says small companies are hiring.
Well, the next step is bringing on more workers. You know, if you anticipate demand to start picking up, particularly over the summer months, you have to hire now. And it looks like it's widespread gains in hiring from the extremely small sized businesses, that's zero to 50, and then anything from 51 to 500 workers.
The latest ADP employment report shows a significant pickup in hiring at small companies. 104,000 workers, up from 79,000 in the prior report. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you very much, John Tucker. And time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the stories, top stories in our nation's capital include the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe holding a rally in opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline today. They're denouncing it as the aggression of President Donald Trump's White House on indigenous land. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi holds her weekly press briefing. The D.C. Court of Appeals is hearing arguments in a case over airplane legroom making. A group called the Flyers' Rights Education Fund is challenging the Federal Aviation Administration's refusal to initiate a rulemaking proceeding over what it calls shrinking airplane seat sizes and legroom. Also making news this morning is a story that Bloomberg's Tolu Olorunipa joins us now from the White House talking about. And Tolu, let me say that there's no commercial announcement here except for the one that we heard from Kellyanne Conway a few weeks ago, huh?
Yeah, that's right. We are now seeing the Office of Government Ethics, the chief ethics office that governs the White House, voicing its concerns that Kellyanne Conway, a counselor to the president, was not disciplined for her promotion of the president's daughter, Ivanka Trump's clothing line and fashion brand while she was on TV at the White House in front of the White House podium. Obviously, that's a breach of the ethics rules that say you can't use your public position to advance the private gain of a company. So, you know, there's been some back and forth between the ethics officers. Basically, the White House's position is that she did it and she didn't do it on purpose and she's not planning to do it again, so she doesn't need to be disciplined. But we're hearing from the Office of Government Ethics that if there is no punishment, then it undermines the overall ethics rules. So there's some concern coming out of the chief ethics officer. And obviously, President Trump has had to deal with issues of ethics since he came into office concerning his large businesses. So this is one instance where The Office of Government Ethics is not happy with the White House and how they're handling this issue.
Now, this all stems from President Trump's tweet about Nordstrom dropping his daughter's clothing line. Now, the White House has pointed out that the president isn't bound by the same rules as his staffers. Apparently, the White House is now extending that to say that the president's staff doesn't need to follow the rules because the chief of the ethics group here says the president must impose discipline and not invent a legal fiction that these rules do not apply.
Yeah, the Office of Government Ethics was very concerned about how this was handled and the assertion that these top White House staffers are not governed by these same rules that govern all of the other government employees. They're saying that there's no basis for that. That's something that's an invention of the White House. And they're really concerned that the White House is inventing a new standard in which their employees, their top employees, don't have to follow the same rules as everyone else. That's a concern that a number of people who are, you know, concerned about the president and his business holdings have voiced. But now it seems to be extending beyond just the president to his staff. And it looks like this is going to be a showdown between the Office of Government Ethics and the West Wing. And it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out.
Any indication very quickly that the Congress might weigh in on this?
Well, we have heard from the Chief Oversight Committee in Congress, and they actually asked the Office of Government Ethics to look into this. So the letter that was sent to the White House was also sent to that same congressional committee, and it'll be interesting. We're not sure yet how far Congress is going to go, whether it's going to wash its hands of this and say we refer this to the Office of Government Ethics, or whether they're going to try to take this on and impose some kind of punishment from Congress. But right now, it seems like they've taken a hands-off approach and allowed the Office of Government Ethics to take the lead.
Bloomberg's Tolu Olorunipa at the White House, thank you very much. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Coming up, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. David is with us now to tell us what's ahead.
Yeah, it's Jobs Day, Bob, the Surveillance Super Bowl. And, of course, we'll break those headlines at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Before then, we'll get perspective on the labor market from Willem Bouwder, the global chief economist at Citi, James Glassman of J.P. Morgan Chase, and Alan Krueger, former chairman of President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, now a professor of economics and public policy at Princeton. And when we get those Labor Department numbers, we will go straight to Newport Beach, California, to Bill Gross of Janus Capital, and later to Scott Mather of PIMCO. And finally, Gary Cohn, formerly of Goldman Sachs, now of the Trump administration, of course, will give us reaction from the White House.
Snow today. Did you
yes,
say,
did none you say yet. I brought my duck boots, but they're not on yet.
Did you say you were going to take me to Newport Beach, California? Is that what you just I'm going to hold you
believe,
to?
I'm going to let you believe that, Bob, to get through the next few minutes here.
Bloomberg Surveillance is coming up just straight ahead at 7 a.m. Wall Street time. Karen Moskow, a check of the markets, please.
All right. And futures this morning are higher with S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 73, NASDAQ futures up about 19, the DAX in Germany up 0.7%. We're watching treasuries with the 10-year treasury up 2/32, the yield 2.59%, and NYMEX crude oil also moving higher, still below $50 a barrel, though. And for Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moskow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.